Call the transportation meeting to order, and this is Tuesday, February 26, 2013. And let the record show that the representatives' presence are present, Representative Lynn, Representative Feige, Representative Christ Tompkins, Representative Isaacson, and myself, Representative Wilson. And I'd like to recognize our staff today. Nancy Hemingway is over here. She's our House Recording Secretary. Lori is over here and is our LIO monitor. And Sherry Klein is my committee aide today. And before we start, please take off or turn off your cell phones all the way off, not just to vibrate, because that does make a difference. And we have three bills today on the agenda. House Bill 109, which I hope we can move, and H.J.R. 10, which I hope we can move, and then H.B. 123. That is a lot more detailed, and we are just going to hear it, but we are not going to move that bill at all today. So we'll start with House Bill 109, naming Michael Wiley Bridge. And Representative Seaton, would you please come forward and state your name and introduce your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. Thank you for taking this bill up today. I'm Paul Seaton. I am the representative for House District 30, which is from Seldovia up the Kenai Peninsula, including Kasilof, and on up to the Kenai River. And House Bill 109 seeks to name the Bridge 670, which is over the Kasilof River, in honor of Michael G. Wiley, who was a long-time member of the community, who served in many different capacities. He was a Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly member. He served on the Kenai Peninsula Board of Equalization. He served on the school board. He served with Homer Electric Association. And he was a member of the he was a teacher with Tustamina Elementary School, which is in Kasilof, as well as Nanwalek Elementary School, which is on the lower portion of the Kenai River. He was a very active member of the Kenai Peninsula Garden Club and donated food annually to the food bank. And he was an active member of the Kenai Historical Society. So there's a lot of members in the community that recognize that his untimely passing due to an accident this last year should be recognized as, and him as an upstanding member of the community. And so I know the committee's time is short, so I'm not trying to go into all his accomplishments, but I know that there's a number of members from the community that would like to testify on his actions. He's been was very involved in alternative energy and trying to promote the things that we have been here about energy security for people in the on the Kenai Peninsula. So, Madam Chair, with that, I would like to ask for the support of the committee for naming the Bridge 670 over the Kasilof River in honor of the accomplishments and the of Michael G. Wiley.
Okay, thank you, Representative Seaton. Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, sounds like he was very active in his community, which is just great. So I'm going to open up testimony, public testimony, and let's hear from the people from his community. So we have online, we have Brent Johnson. Are you online, Brent?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, state your name and your affiliation, and then go ahead and give us your testimony.
Thank you. I'm Brent Johnson. I don't really have an affiliation for what I'm speaking today, although I met Mike in not long after he moved to Clam Gulch in 1968. I knew him well on a couple of forums. I was president of Kasilof Historical Association. Mike served there, and he was one of the very faithful people who worked week in and week out restoring cabins that the Historical Association was doing for pioneers in that area. Mike cut trees off of his own property, brought them in, and then worked with a crew that was fixed in these cabins for historical preservation. And another forum I knew Mike real well on was I'm president of the Kokanet Aquaculture Association. I've sat on that group for years. Mike became a board member of Kokanet Aquaculture Association in 2004. In 2007, he was made the vice president, and I've enjoyed working with him there. Mike worked on many committees on the Aquaculture Association, served in a number of ways. One of the things that I can contribute to this conversation was that I had done quite a bit of work as a historian with the Historical Association, and when Mike passed away, I sort of volunteered to write a biography of him. So I've done a bit of research and dug through records and whatnot, and all I can say is that he served in many ways. Wherever he went, he was well-liked. I talked to former students from Tustamina School. They told me that their grades went up when he showed up on the scene because he was easier to learn from than their previous teacher. And as I say, in all the different communities, he was on the Moose Pass Volunteer Fire Department. He drove a school bus in Seward. Just wherever he went, he was a guy who rolled up his sleeves, got involved, and was willing to work for his community. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Brent. And we have a question, Representative Lynn.
Yeah, thank you very much for your testimony. I noticed you referred to him as Mike, and we had Don Michael G. Knowing this person, blind person, so well, would he prefer to have his name Michael, or would he prefer Mike?
I thought his daughter is here, and I'll let her speak to that. I knew him as Mike, and you know, every time I addressed him, he was Mike. But the bill is Michael, and his daughter is here. I'll let the family speak to that, I guess.
The family feels, as far as I know, that Michael G. Wiley, that's how he signed everything, and, you know, that's his.
Can you state your name, please?
Sorry. My name is Holly Nagasako. I'm his daughter.
Okay, thank you, Holly.
And thank you.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add, Holly?
Yeah, I have something that the family has put together. Thanks for allowing me to speak on behalf of my family. The expression "home is where the heart is" was evident in my dad's life. Alaska was his home and where his heart was from the day he came to Alaska in 1966 to the day that he passed. He made a commitment to make a difference in the state, and he did. As an educator, my dad gave his all to the community, residents where he taught. Sorry. When he lived in the bush, his home was often considered the community center. He provided encouragement, support, and opportunities to many children and their families wherever he taught. Michael worked continuously as a member of many nonprofit and private sector initiatives to make the state of Alaska a better place. He held several elective offices and worked tirelessly to represent his constituents. He was a stronger in citizen participation and encouraged many Alaska residents to get involved. He made decisions based on facts and sought out the best practices, whether he was creating lifelong learners, fishing, working the Alaska pipeline, preserving historic sites and buildings, or looking at alternative energy sources. He worked not only to meet the objectives and goals of those endeavors, but also as an advocate for the less privileged. And I just thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak. It's a great honor for my family to have this consideration even being brought to the table.
Thank you, Holly, very much. It sounds like your dad was a wonderful man.
Very.
Okay, Robert Correa? Correa?
Correa.
Correa.
Thank you. My name is Bob Correa. I am a full-time resident of Kasilov, and I have been for over 50 years. I've known many old-timers and other terrific characters over all the years in Kasilov, but this effort to put Mike Wiley's name on the Kasilov Bridge is all about public service. There are likely a number of reasons that a community may choose to recognize and acknowledge someone among themselves enough to want to hang that person's name on the one and only bridge. Someone who's dedicated to their community, changed that community forever, and might be remembered forever because of it. Great Alaskans often give a lot to the community, and as you folks surely know, no gift is greater, and unfortunately is as often underappreciated and unrewarded as public service. Mike Wiley's list of public service is a long one and spans over 40 years here, from teacher to school board, borough assembly to home electric board, cooking and aquaculture to Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Fund and the Kusiloff Historical Association and Gardening Club, too. As I said, the list goes on. In addition to Mike's own commitment to volunteerism, he was a persistent and tireless recruiter of others, encouraging many to step up to the plate and make a difference. There are a number of active board and committee members that are now serving because of a little nudging from Mike Wiley. So please help us recognize this extraordinary Alaskan, and we ask you that you please pass HB 109. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. And let the record show that Representative Gaddis has joined us. And Paul Shadura?
Yes. This is Paul Shadura, Representative Wilson and members of the Transportation Committee. I stand today here for the Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association, an organization that has been in existence since 1954. We represent many of the Cook Inlet set net fishermen within Cook Inlet. There's approximately 735 fishermen, of which our organization, again, represents the majority of those. Today I just want to venerate some of the things that that Mike did for our organization. He was a member for 26 years. He was the past president in 2005 and 2006. He was a set netter in the Cook Inlet area since 1970, which is 42 years. He was a tireless volunteer for the community, commercial fisherman, educator, utility director, Kenai Peninsula Borough Assemblyman, a member of the Kenai Historical Society, the Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association, and other endeavors. Mike was always there for those who were less fortunate or who just needed a hand up in life. KPFA believes community recognition has no higher honor for a person who dedicated his life for community service. Please support House Bill 109 and rename the 670 Bridge over the Kusiloff River to the Michael G. Wiley. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else online that would like to testify? All right, then we'll go to the room. And we have one person in the room, David Thomas. And if you would state your name and your affiliation, please.
Hello, my name is David Thomas. I'm a director on the not-for-profit Homer Electric Association Board, on which I served with Mike Wiley. His service on the board illustrated to me repeatedly his vast experience in education as a teacher, in our waters as a fisherman, and in our community as a volunteer, a friend, a helper, a father, and a grandfather. With sincerity and good humor, he was a consistent and fierce advocate for fish, the downtrodden, renewable energy, and good grammar in all of our documents. HEA appreciates and supports House Bill 109 to name the Kusiloff River crossing the Mike G. Wiley Bridge.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify? Okay, then I'm going to close a public testimony. And are any discussion from the committee at all? Representative Seaton, would you come forward a minute? Now, I heard this, and sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this beforehand, but was there a question that some of the people wanted to put their own sign at the bridge, there wouldn't be a fiscal note, or do you want to leave that fiscal note in the bill?
I haven't been informed of that.
Okay.
So, I mean, right now there's a DOT saying that they will change, you know, do their signs, and it's there. I'm not attempting to remove the fiscal note.
Okay.
It may be that community members might want to have an artistic signs donated. But at this point in time, I don't have any information on that.
Okay. We may zero out the fiscal note. So anyway, thank you. Any other discussion? I'd like to hear a motion.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill number 109, version 28-LS0462/U.
With individual
recommendations, but with no fiscal note.
Okay, thank you. And hearing no objection, so moved. So the bill is moved out of committee and on to the next one. So thank you. Okay, and we'll zero out the fiscal note then.
Zero. Thank you.
All right. Next is House Bill number 8. Let's take a break of these so we can fill out these papers.
Representative Wilson, would you please come forward, state your name and affiliation, and introduce your bill.
All right.
Oh, we're going to hear H.J.R. 10, Constitutional Amendment, Transportation Fund.
All right. I'm Representative Peggy Wilson from House District 33, and I want to thank the committee for hearing my resolution today. And first, I'm going to into why we need Alaska Transportation Infrastructure Fund. Can you
pull that closer?
Okay. In fiscal year fiscal year 14, 79% of our transportation infrastructure, or our transportation budget, will come from the federal government, and that's down from just 2010 when it was 84%. And we currently have $20 billion in backlog of transportation projects in the state. We also have over $700 million in deferred maintenance. We as a state cannot even keep up with our maintenance, let alone our other transportation needs. The federal government has passed a new two-year highway bill, MAP 21, this past year. And if you remember from the DOT presentation to this committee, the overall federal funding remains consistent with Safety Lou, which was the previous program. However, the amount of funding for roads not on the national highway system has been cut by 50%. Alaska only has 8 roads on the national highway system, the least in the nation, which means we will now see a lot less funding for our borough and city roads. The categories of funding have been reduced, and they're much more restrictive than they used to be. So that just means less money from the feds for the state of Alaska. Our own D.C. delegation from Washington has told us for several years now that it's time that Alaska starts not depending so much on our transportation funds from the feds, and that we should start shouldering some of that burden by improving our own infrastructure ourselves. Federal funding is diminishing in many other areas besides transportation. That means our general fund pie is getting smaller, making every department's piece of the pie shrink also. This resolution is about meeting the ever-growing needs of Alaska and our transportation needs. How are we going to meet those growing needs when we can't even keep up with maintenance, let alone new roads? That's the question I want to keep asking. Over the past 4 years, this Transportation Committee has listened to DOT, grassroots organizations, transportation companies identifying challenges in transportation in our geographically diverse state. And the committee went out. We didn't stay in this committee room. We went out into various places across the state. We flew to villages. We flew to Bethel, and then from there we took puddle jumpers and flew to many of the villages. So we viewed their airports, which is the basic transportation mode for them in and out of their communities. We rode the urban highways to see the challenges they face with regards to safety, congestion, and deferred maintenance. We heard from AML and the Mat-Su Borough, who teamed together to contract an independent study on the fiscal challenges of transportation. We heard from the National Conference of State Legislators on what other states are doing to address their transportation problems. Larry Pursley put together a list of all the funding options available to address the fiscal shortfalls of our long-range transportation plan, and that's outlined and it's in your packets. The culmination of all those hours of committee hearings, travel, and research has a three-part solution. One, reinstate the Dedicated Transportation Fund. In other words, implement ATIF, or the Alaska Transportation Infrastructure Fund. Two, maintain our existing funding. We must fund our operational and capital budgets as we do now. We need to reduce our $20 billion backlog and clean up our deferred maintenance. Three, do more 100% state-funded projects. State-funded projects do not have to follow the highly constrictive and lengthy federal highway procedures that are often expensive and time-consuming. With state-funded projects, your constituents will see the impact of our state dollars much sooner in their communities than normal. For example, state funds were used in the construction of the Elmore Road extension in Anchorage. This was completed in 3 years. Normally that would have taken 7 to 10 years. So if the federal processes would have been followed. So we can save tremendous time and money by doing state-funded projects. This resolution is not intended to diminish our partnership with the federal government. The intention is to provide a dedicated revenue stream that will allow more projects to be completed faster and with less money. In addition, now I want to repeat, in addition to our current capital and operational investments of the state. In other words, this is not money that we want to use to supplant what we're already doing, because obviously it is not keeping up. The Alaska Transportation Fund will grow as investment returns compound. The endowment will be seeded with $2 billion. In addition to the investment returns of the endowment, we will put in the taxes, or the revenues from fuel taxes, vehicle registration fees, tire taxes, driver's license fees, identification cards, and vehicle rental taxes. They all will feed the fund. The ATEF can expect to generate approximately $86 million the first year, $133 million the second year, and will increase by about $4 million each year after that. You have a spreadsheet in your packet, which was developed by the Legislative Finance. This estimates the fund balance and what could be available each year, and that's based on the provisions of the enabling legislation, which you will hear next. Historians write that the drafters of the Constitution were concerned that dedicated funds would impair future legislators from responding to evolving public needs. That's why they grandfathered in two dedicated transportation funds, one for highways and one for water and harbors. The public need for dependable and efficient transportation hasn't changed the Constitution as it was written. The needs have only grown. An expert from the speech written for Governor Hickel for his State of the State address almost 20 years ago indicates that a dedicated transportation fund is not as radical a proposal as it may sound. Over half the states already have one, he continued on. Alaskans will receive more stable service levels with a dedicated revenue stream, and if new revenues are needed, Alaskans will be assured that any new transportation fees will go to transportation. Alaska needs to take action now. The future of the economic and social well-being of Alaska's citizens is critically dependent on a reliable transportation system. This change to our Constitution, allowing a reinstatement of the Dedicated Transportation Fund, is needed to create a modern and reliable transportation system for Alaska. Transportation investment, and yes, I said investment. Transportation investment creates a competitive environment, attracting additional economic investment to grow our general fund. This resolution is not the enabling statutes that define how the fund will be managed or how the funds will be distributed or who they'll be distributed to. I remind the committee this resolution will allow the public to vote on recreating the Alaska transportation infrastructure. I request the committee to move the resolution today. Thank you for the opportunity to present this piece of legislation.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Is there any questions for the sponsor? I have a comment and possibly some questions. I appreciate the fact that you have been working on this for years. I've followed it from a distance and never knew I'd have a chance to actually help move it forward, but I'm delighted to be able to do so. You have mentioned in this that it is your intention that from this fund we also fund DMV, and so that will not diminish the fund actually, but it will help reduce our general fund expenditures.
Right.
So in this way, it's going to help accomplish several things.
And actually, the fund or the DMV actually is funded through the receipts that they receive. So I didn't want to change that. And so that's why any receipts that go to any specific groups, like some of the specialized license plates, some of the fees received goes to that. Some of the fees go to airports, some of the airplane fuel tax. So anything that now goes somewhere else, we didn't make any changes to that. So, and that's all incorporated in that fiscal note where it shows the progression as it grows each year.
And just for the record, this isn't to be M&O as much. It isn't exclusively for management and operation, maintenance and operation. It is also to connect Alaskan communities to each other eventually.
Absolutely. I'm hoping that it will make a big difference in the economy of the state, because it also will include, you know, we don't have enough infrastructure in this state. Our transportation infrastructure is very limited, and I'm hoping that we'll see roads to resources and you know, connecting communities, different things like that.
Utilizing our RS-2477 and other resources, maybe. Representative Chris Tompkins.
Thank you, Chair Isaacson, Vice Chair Isaacson. I was curious what the legal relationship between House Joint Resolution 10 and House Bill 123 is, right? And maybe I should just present my embryonic understanding. The resolution is necessary for the bill to take place. So when we hear the bill next in committee, we're sort of preemptively passing it, and were the resolution to become part of our Constitution, passed by the voters, passed by the legislature, the fund would just be ready to go. Is that accurate?
Yes. Actually, House Bill 123 is the enabling legislation that really tells how everything will work and how it's put together and all the details. And House Bill 122 is actually putting the $2 billion into the endowment fund.
Great. So there will be three actions. This is the necessary first. All right. Any other questions for the sponsor? Yep. Seeing none, I hear Aves Thompson, I believe, of the Alaska Trucking Association. Aves, are you there?
I am, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry I wasn't trying to get your attention.
If you'll state your name and association for the record, then please have at it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Aves Thompson, Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association. The Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our nearly 200 member companies from Barrow to Ketchikan. Freight movement represents a large chunk of our economy and impacts all of us each and every day. The simple truth is that if you got it, a truck brought it. One of ATA's top priorities is to establish a state transportation fund to invest state dollars in our transportation systems. Trucks rely on the road system to deliver the goods. To ensure a safe and productive transportation system, we must fund necessary improvements. Thousands of truck drivers are on these highways every day, and we want their workplace to be safe and productive. ATA supports a state-funded transportation program that funds highway projects over and above current capital expenditure levels. This fund will also allow, this fund will also allow Alaska to focus its federal highway dollars on the national highway system in Alaska. It is these intercity connecting routes that carry the most traffic and freight for all the highways in Alaska. We've heard repeatedly that our federal highway funding will very likely decrease for the foreseeable future. It is because this network of highway allows for safe and efficient movement of more than 62,000 tons of freight each day that we need to continue to provide a reliable and predictable funding stream to support the system. There are a number of mega projects on the horizon that will require a dependable system of freight corridors built and maintained to support the flow of goods and equipment that Alaskans will need. An Alaska Transportation Infrastructure Fund will help provide the necessary funding for these roads and highways and will help to meet local project needs. HJR 10 will put a constitutional amendment before the voters to give the voters a chance to decide. Transportation user fees and taxes are much easier to pay when we know that they are to be used to build and maintain our highway system. ATA supports HJR 10 and urges the committee to move this resolution forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Any questions? Seeing none, we have with us Barbara Huff-Tuckness of Teamsters, if you would like to come forward and testify. And I don't see anyone else online, but if you are online, please let us know here in the next few moments. And please state your name and name and affiliation for the record and proceed.
Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Barbara Huff-Tuckness. I'm the Director of Governmental and Legislative Affairs for Teamsters Local 959. And like our fellow speaker, I want to go on record on behalf of the 7,000 members that we have statewide, strongly supporting HJR 10. We believe this constitutional amendment has been long overdue. We also support strongly, and I don't know how appropriate this is, HB 123, which I think from a public perspective, it kind of ties definitely the package together. We represent members that work in the trucking industry as well as healthcare, mining, telecommunication, bakeries. I can go through the gamut. I think there's, with the exception of tourism and maybe fisheries, we pretty much have a lock, including the Alaska Railroad, some of our trucks, because we have a lack of road system or even from a timeliness perspective in getting goods and various types of cargo around the state is very important. For those of you that have had my boss, Rick Boyles, in your office, you probably have heard him make the statement, when's the last major road construction project that you've seen in the state? And I believe, if we're not mistaken, it goes back to the Pogo mine when Governor Steve Cooper was in office. That's been a long time. We're really hoping that this constitutional amendment this year does move forward, that it puts in place a system that takes away our total reliability to a certain degree with the federal funding. Over the years, I think you've seen, and Don Young, Congressman Young, has worked very, very hard over the years with the various pieces of legislation that he's been successful in bringing to the state. We do believe it's time that we start preparing for our own needs and moving forward with our own transportation projects out there, be they new roads, which we'd be really excited about, as well as the day-to-day maintenance. And I think the other point that Representative Wilson made that is important enough to reiterate, it is quite a bit of savings compared to the federal dollars. Our state dollars indeed have the ability to go a lot further because we don't have a lot of the strings attached to the federal money that
well, to the state money that we would with the federal money. And with that, I urge your support and hopefully your vote to move this bill out of committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Any questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. And online, we have John McKinnon. John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
If you would state your name and affiliation for the record, proceed.
Thank you. For the record, my name is John McKinnon. I'm the executive director of the Associated General Contractors of Alaska. We're a construction trade association of roughly 650 businesses in Alaska in the construction industry. Mr. Chairman, members of the Transportation Committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify on this, and thank you for looking ahead to the future transportation needs of Alaska. A state-funded transportation program is an essential element of that, and my comments today are relevant to both HJR 10 and HB 123. I'd also like to thank Representative Peggy Wilson for her support and persistence in pursuing this effort. I know this is a third or fourth year that we've been working on this, and she's become as passionate about this issue as many of us on this side of the industry are. Let me say in making these comments, I speak from a position of some knowledge and experience. I was a Deputy Commissioner of Transportation from 2003 through 2007, and for the past 5 years, I've been the Executive Director of AGC of Alaska. I have a good understanding of the current program, the federal program, and the state appropriations that go into the state side of it, the strong points of how we do things, and the problems and needs of our state. And as I view the overall program and what she's proposing, what is being proposed, you know, there are certain essential elements that it has, and these are substantial state funding to adequately address the transportation needs of Alaska, a user fee program set up to do this, and in HB 123, prioritization of projects based on facts and need and not politics. The goal of a state-funded program is to increase the level of funding for transportation projects to supplement the declining federal program. And a regular source of state funding allows alternatives to the federal program. You've heard from previous testimony how state dollars go further than federal dollars. This is not an exaggeration. When I was at DOT, we routinely estimated a federal dollar worth about 75 cents compared to a state dollar. I support what we're doing here with this HGR 10 and with HB 123, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
And does any committee member have a question? Seeing none, thank you very much, John. Appreciate your testimony. Is there anyone else online or in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, at this time, I'm closing testimony. And at this time, is there discussion or a motion? Representative Feige.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move House Joint Resolution Number 10, Version 28-LS0133/uniform, with individual recommendations.
All right. Is there any objection? Seeing none.
And attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. Any objection? Then at this time, we have moved HGR 10, version U, from committee, and we will take a brief at ease to fill out the paperwork and reinstate the chair.
And now we're going to go to House Bill 123, Dedicated Transportation Fund slash public fund, public transportation. I don't plan to move this bill today, but I'm going to have my staff present a sectional analysis of the bill and explain it as she goes along. So, Becky, would you come forward, state your name, and introduce your bill?
For the record, Becky Rooney, staff to Representative Peggy Wilson. And I'm just going to step through the bill and talk about each section because there are a lot of different complicating factors as we go through. So,
and as we go along, you don't have a sectional in your packet, so just follow along with the bill itself.
Okay, HB 2123 contains the enabling statutes that define the Alaska Transportation Infrastructure Fund, or ATIF. I will step through the sections of the bill, so please stop me if you have any questions. Section 1 deals with the identification cards, and it directs all of the fees from identification cards into ATIF. Section 2 are the registration fees, and they will be deposited into the ATIF except for sections D and F, and they are the specialized license plates and the specialized license plates and the special request plates, and those are because there are special uses for those revenues. Additionally, 3% of the funds destined for the transportation fund will be put into the general fund for the administration of the Alaska Mandatory Insurance Act, and the department administration will keep track of that 3%. And the goal of this section is to ensure that any special interest that is currently receiving funds from vehicle registration fees continues to receive them. Section 3, all fees collected by the DMV will go into the ATIF except for the fees related to snowmobiles and specialty license plates that I covered in Section 2. This includes permits, driver's licenses, and test fees, all commercial motor vehicle license fees and tests, and all other fees associated with driving a motor vehicle, like revocation of licenses. You have to pay a fee to get it reinstated, and the cost to get your license back. Section 4 is an existing statute, and the watercraft fuel tax account in the general fund may be used to finance the municipal harbor grant fund. Because we are using the marine fuel tax revenue for the dedicated fund, the watercraft fund fuel tax will be deleted. However, you will see in later language that we still have a mechanism to appropriate to the municipal harbor facility grant fund. Section 5 is a cleanup section that renumbers and repositions statutes, DNF, that are the specialty license plate fees. Section 6 is the heart of the bill, and that is the description of the fund. It will consist of any appropriations to the fund, revenue from motor fuel taxes, vehicle registrations, driver's license fees, regular and studded tire taxes, vehicle rental taxes, and other revenue designated by the legislature will go into the fund. This last entry, the revenue designated by the legislature, is there to allow for transportation user fees and taxes that have not yet been created. Things like toll roads or transit user fees that are commonly used in the lower 48 but not instituted here in Alaska. The Department of Revenue will manage this account to yield at least 6% over time. And the money left in the account at the end of the year will remain in the account. Section 3714860 says that the Department of Revenue will report 5% of the market value averaged over the last 5 years, and also 50% of the revenue for the previous year on September 1st of every year. 50%.
Can you explain that just a little bit? Because that's a little bit hard to understand sometimes.
Sure. The 5% of the market value of the entire ATIF will be available for appropriation, as well as 50% of all the revenues that I talked about earlier, motor fuel tax revenues and the revenues from the DMV, 50% of that revenue will be available for appropriation each year. And this September 1st report is where the Alaska Infrastructure Panel will get the information to create the list of projects available.
And so how is the fund going to grow besides
50% of the revenue will remain in the fund to help inflation-proof it and while growing at a modest rate.
Okay.
And you can see that on that spreadsheet. You'll see the fund value does grow. The appropriation identified in the September 1 report will be used for capital projects and major maintenance of transportation. One thing to note here is that the constitutional change, which is HJR 10, only requires that the money be spent on transportation projects. To provide flexibility to the legislature, we have moved the requirement that the fund be used for capital projects and major maintenance into statute. If there is ever a situation where the legislature may need money for the fund for operations, all that would be needed is a statute change that doesn't require a vote of the people. No appropriation will be made for federal match, which is federalized projects, unless the total used in that year does not exceed 20%. So only up to 20% of the entire available appropriation may be used for federalized projects. This was done to squash the idea of supplanting the money already used for federal match. State projects developed without the arduous federal construction mandates are cheaper and faster. Money may be appropriated for roads and surface transportation, aviation, the marine highway, harbors, marine facilities, and also for the Municipal Harbor Facility Grant Fund, community transportation and transit, bike paths and trails, and the railroad. The money may not be appropriated for federal match for roads and surface transportation, aviation, and the marine highway. This provision is to ensure that this new fund will not supplant what we already spend in the capital budget on federalized projects. Section 3714870, since June 30th as the date for the determination for the market value of the fund. 880, the commissioner of the Department of Revenue will provide a report to the legislature on the condition and performance of the fund 10 days after the start of the regular session. 890 sets up an advisory commission for the distribution of the fund. The members of that commission will include the chairs of the House and Senate Transportation Committees, and these are non-voting members, the commissioner of the Department of Transportation, 6 public members who have experience in one or more modes of transportation, and of those 6, there will be 1 member from each judicial district and 2 members at large. The terms will be staggered and the chair will be elected from the public members by the group. And all public members will serve without pay. They will get per diem and travel when they have to go to meetings. A set of criteria will be developed by the Department of Transportation to help prioritize the project. The members will evaluate the project submissions and give them a numeric score. The Infrastructure Commission will submit a report to the governor and to the legislature no later than October 15th that makes the recommendation for the next year's transportation projects to be funded with ATIF. 899 is a definition section. Section 7, 4340.010E. This will retain the aviation fuel give back to the municipalities that own or operate an airport. All of the other funds from aviation fuel will go into ATIF. Section 8, all revenue from the motor fuel tax will go into the ATIF, and any refunds will be paid out of that fund as well. Section 9 removes the exception for item J because it is repealed in Section 16. Section 10 instructs that the motor fuel refund checks will be taken out of ATIF instead of the highway fuel tax account in the general fund. Section 11, the vehicle rental taxes shall be deposited into ATIF. Section 12 puts the tire fees and studded tire tax into the ATIF. Section 13 amends the list of responsibilities that DOT has to complete, and it includes 3 new items. 1, the promotion and support of local public transportation. 2, to develop criteria for evaluating projects for funding the Alaska Infrastructure Commission. to develop guidelines for use when deciding when projects funded by the department and which projects will be funded using the ATIF. Section 14 creates the 7-member Alaska Transportation Panel. It will consist of the Commissioner of DOT, 4 public members, 1 from Fairbanks, 1 from Anchorage, 1 from an interior rural community, and 1 from a coastal rural community. And they're all appointed by the governor with experience in transportation. In addition to those members, we will have 1 member from the Alaska Infrastructure Commission and 1 member from the STIP board. Section 15 is just conforming language. Section 16.
Becky, would you go back and tell, kind of explain what that panel will do?
The Alaska Transportation Panel. They will be the panel that evaluates projects that are sent to DOT for funding. So all projects will come in and they will be evaluated on whether to be funded using federalized dollars or state-only dollars. So the ATIF or the current DOT funding mechanisms. So that's what that panel does. Then the commission will evaluate the list that has been identified for ATIF funding, and they will set a numerical score to rank those projects.
And just for clarification.
Representative Isaacson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So it'll function similar to a municipal planning organization, and then it will be asking for inclusion into basically the statewide transportation infrastructure program, the STIP?
Or into, it will, when it goes into the DOT gets it goes into the STIP if you can get federalized dollars, right?
Yeah.
But this will allow you to make a decision when it initially is presented to DOT of whether to follow the STIP process and get federalized dollars or the ATIF process and get state-funded only dollars.
Right. Good distinction. Thank you.
Okay. Section 16. It repeals the watercraft fuel tax account, the special highway fuel tax account, and the non-public highway use account within the general fund. And that is because all of those dollars will now be going into the transportation infrastructure fund. Section 17 just says that this applies to all the revenues defined earlier in the bill. Section 18 describes the transition during the first 5 years for figuring out how much money is available to appropriate each year. So it will use 5% of the market value in the first year as of July 1st, 2015, plus 50% of the revenue from the previous year. And then in subsequent years, the appropriation will be 5% of the average over the last 2 and then 3 and then 4 until you get up to 5 years through 2020. The Commissioner of the Department of Revenue will file a report September 1st of each of the first 5 years defining the funds available for appropriation. Section 19 staggers the terms of the Alaska Infrastructure Commission. And there's a Section 20 is a severability clause. 21 says that the change to the Constitution must be passed by the voters before this bill will take effect. And Representative Christ-Tompkins, I think that kind of tells you how this plays together. This will not take effect if it isn't passed by the voters. Section 22 directs revenue into the ATIF beginning when the constitutional amendment takes effect, and that is January 1st of 2015. Bill,
are there any other questions? Representative Christ-Tompkins.
I have a couple of questions,
sure.
if I may. What are the projected revenues for this fund based on current revenue sources, and what are those revenues relative to the current AKDOT budget?
Through the chair, Representative Christ-Tompkins, there is a sheet that looks like this in your packet, and it shows what all the revenues are across by year, and it also shows the payout rate plus what all the expenses are. So this fund really pays for itself, plus it generates, in the first year, it is $68.1 million, the second year $133.2 million, and it continues to grow by about $4 million a year. The revenues projected are taken from the revenue resources book, I think is what it's called, and we took them directly from there, and Ledge Finance prepared this for us. So this will give you an idea of what's available.
Follow-up, Representative Price Tompkins.
So this would grow ad infinitum forever and ever, or until the legislature otherwise acts?
Absolutely, through the chair.
Any other questions? And we are at 2:00.
Sure you don't want to move it?
Well, because this has got so many things in it, I know it's kind of a lot to get your mind around, and so we're going to just let it perk for about a week, and then we will hear it again maybe a week from today, and give you a chance to, let's see, we have Barbara is going to talk, but you know what? We're going to wait and hold testimony until next time, because people haven't really heard about it too much now. We're hoping now that the public has heard about it, they'll have a chance to think about it and think about their questions, and then a week from now when we have it, we'll open it up for public testimony. And I think that gives everybody, we just want to make sure that the public has a chance to testify, but since this is kind of the first blush of the legislation, we want to give everyone a chance to think about it, and then we will definitely discuss it more a week from now and let the public give their testimony and let them tell us what they think about it. So I think that's probably all. Thank you very much, Becky. And now we're going to I guess we're done for the day, which is kind of neat. So next Thursday, we will be meeting jointly with the Senate to hear about our new Alaska Class Ferry plan and the design concept. So I'm kind of excited about that. Actually, the MTAB committee gets to hear about it on Wednesday, and we don't get to hear about it until Thursday. So we'll be getting it secondhand. So we will adjourn and reconvene separately after that. And then at that meeting, we will take up House Bill 23, the Kibata Bill. And we won't hear testimony next week about the Kibata Bill. We'll give people a chance, just like this bill today. We're gonna think about it, and then we will present it. The next time it's presented, we'll have questions. So, and testimony from the public. So I guess it is about, I can't see for sure, I think it's about 10 after 2, and so we will be adjourned.